right away Glenn Miller played
songs that made the hit parade.
Guys like us, we had it made.
Those were the days.
Starring Carol O'Connor, Gene Stapleton, co-starring Rob Reiner and Sally Struthers in All in the Family.
Mister, we could use a man like Herbert Hoover again. Didn't need no welfare state.
Everybody pulled his weight.
G.R.O. LaSalle ran great. Those were the days.
Developed by Norman Lear.
Gonna be glad I went shopping with you, Edith, when you see how much money I keep doing spending.
Oh, you just wait and see.
Jeez, look at the height of the prices on them shelves. The whole world's going to hell in the shopping baskets.
Edith bags potatoes.
Archie, I told you so.
Just remember, I'm unemployed, Edith. Now, geez, don't be grabbing with both hands. Don't be spending my money faster than I ain't earning it. Why are we shopping in Ferguson's anyway? Ferguson's is crooks.
Archie, it's a nice place, and it's in the neighborhood.
Yeah, there better be a poorhouse in the neighborhood. Now, what is this? Wait a minute. Why is beans 49 cents a can?
Because it's on sale. The regular price is 53 cents. Unless you find a dented can, then it's 2 cents cheaper.
Archie looks up from the can in his hand as he thinks it over.
I eat it. Go get bread. Bread, over there, over there.
There.
Edith scurries off, and Archie looks over his shoulder. He whacks the can on his shopping cart, drawing the attention of a young grocer.
I killed a roach there.
The grocer leaves, and Archie turns his back. He repeatedly bangs two cans together.
Look at this, Edith. I found a couple of dented cans of beans.
Oh, you're a good shopper.
Look at the price on this here bread. 50 cents, Edith. Take it back and buy the 11-cent bread we always eat.
Archie, bread ain't been 11 cents for years. Not since you went in the service. That was 1942.
Oh, geez, 1942. I want to tell you, them was the days, Edith. Them was the days, boy. Everybody in the country was working, plenty of money in everybody's pocket, 11-cent bread. That's because we had a beautiful war going for us then. Look at everything nowadays, huh? Boy, millions of people out of work, no money in their pockets like me. We're selling all our wheat. The Ruskies got the 11-cent bread. We get the 50-cent bread. I want to tell you, this country's in trouble every time there's an outbreak of peace. I want to show you something about the bread here, see?
Oh, no, don't do that. They say on TV you shouldn't squeeze the bread.
What the hell with the TV? I'm showing you something here. You test bread for fresh the same as you test a cigar, you see? You squeeze it and you listen. See what I mean?
Is it fresh?
Yeah, see? And then when you find it fresh, when you put back the one you squeeze, you grab another loaf.
Archie heads to the bread shelf where he finds a woman squeezing and sniffing another loaf.
Don't you know people have to eat that after you?
On his way back to Edith, Archie stops at a hardware rack and takes a ball peen hammer.
What are you doing now, Edith?
Oh, I'm listening to the peas.
You're probably the only woman in the world that peas talk to. What are they saying?
Well, you see, if you listen to them, you can tell by the noise which can has more peas than water.
Why don't you do that with the beans here?
Well, the beans don't make no noise.
Well, that's true. In the store, they don't. Fruit Loops. Don't forget the Fruit Loops. Yes.
Yeah.
Hurry up. They're way over there. Way over there.
When Edith leaves, Archie starts hitting his canned food with the hammer. Another shopper stops and stares.
The handle's coming off here. That's right.
The woman leaves, and Archie accidentally hammers his eggs. He picks up the oozing carton, looks around, and hides it in a shelf of canned soup. Archie quickly pushes his cart to the next aisle, where he spots an open bag of black licorice sitting on a shelf. He takes a handful, pops them in his mouth, and joins Edith.
You see how lousy people are, Edith? Somebody tore open a whole bag of licorice bits there.
Archie, you shouldn't eat them.
Why the hell not? Once they're open, they go bad, don't they?
Archie grabs his stomach.
What's the matter? What's the matter? Is it your gallstones?
No. If it's anything, it's the licorice. I told you, I ain't got no gallstones.
Dr. Shapiro told you you did.
Until I told Dr. Shapiro I didn't. Let's not have no more argument. Come on, finish up and let's get out of here, huh?
I gotta get your Twinkies.
If they don't have the Twinkies. If they don't have the Twinkies, get Ding Dongs or Devil Dogs. When you're passing the hardware, return this, will you? I changed my mind about that item, see? I need it. We need eggs.
I bought it.
I don't see no eggs in there.
Archie rushes to the checkout counter.
Okay there, girlie. You think we can get an honest count, or is that against the policy of the store? Wait.
He grabs the cashier's wrist.
Watch with the hit and run on the keys there.
What's with the holding hands?
I ought to be able to hold more than that for what you're charging in here.
He stares at her. And she frowns at him.
Look, what's the complaint?
The complaint is there that you're banging up the numbers there. You ain't even looking at the price on the item.
We're trained to know the prices.
Well, let's see how good you're trained then. How much is this here?
47 cents.
Wrong, 57.
Thank you.
Archie lowers his head. Edith returns.
I got you, Twinkie.
All right.
And some cranberries.
But why did you get two cans of cranberry sauce?
Ooh, Thanksgiving is coming.
But so is Christmas. I ain't buying a tree.
But they're on sale. 2 for 81 cents.
All right. How much is one?
41 cents.
I'll take the 40-cent one.
Gloria runs in.
Yeah.
Is Joey all right?
Oh, yeah, Joey's fine. Mrs. Rehnquist is taking care of him. But I was out in the yard and I heard your phone ring, and it was for you, Daddy.
Is Joey at Mrs. Rehnquist's house, or is Mrs. Rehnquist over at your house?
Joey's over at Mrs. Rehnquist's.
Oh, I don't think you should leave Joey with Mrs. Rehnquist.
Who was it?
Oh, he don't like it. He won't even make a boom-boom for me.
You want me to make a boom-boom right here? What the hell are you looking at? I didn't make it, Jess.
The cashier winces.
Who was it on the phone?
Daddy, it was a phone call about a job for you. Well, not exactly a job yet. It's an interview, but when it's required, this is the address.
Let me out of here, will you? Now look out for her, will you? That's Lady Goldfingers over there. She changes prices. I caught her in a near misdemeanor.
Archie hurries off. Soon after, he arrives at A. Maloney's personnel office and approaches the receptionist.
Good afternoon, sis. My name is Archie Bunker. I believe I have an appointment.
It'll be just a moment.
Maloney in there?
Just have a seat, please.
Yeah, all right.
A man in a suit steps out of the inner office.
Oh, I come about the job there, Mr. Maloney.
Well, I'm not Mr. Maloney. And by the way, Maloney is not a mister.
Oh, is he? When is he again?
Archie makes a limp wrist gesture.
No, Maloney is a Ms.
Oh, boy, shit.
And I'm waiting to hear about the same job.
You hear about the job? No kidding. I mean, you know, you don't kind of look the type there.
Archie stares at the man's briefcase.
I'm just looking at the initials on your monogram there. F-E. When I was a kid, I knew another kid, F.E., Farley Epstein.
I'm Frank Edwards.
I'm Archie Bunker. What questions did she ask you then?
Well, the usual. Name, address, age.
Well, them I can answer.
Previous experience, college degrees.
You've been to college?
Yes, William and Mary.
Two of them, huh? I only just barely finished high school myself. Geez, what am I doing here? I ain't got a prayer.
Well, you may be more qualified for this job than I am.
What is the job?
They call it custodian.
Ah, that means janitor.
Janitor, yeah.
So
how come a guy like you is going out with a job like that?
I haven't worked for 3 years. I've run out of my unemployment insurance, and I can't get a job because I'm too damn old.
Oh, huh. Well, how old are you?
48.
Archie raises his brow.
Jeez, I'm pretty nearly that myself.
Mr. Bunker?
Yeah?
Miss Maloney will see you now.
Oh, okay. See you later there, Frank. Right in, huh? Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you very much.
He tugs at his belt.
But nothing personal, man.
The receptionist looks away.
Come in, please.
Archie pokes his head in.
Have a seat, Mr. Bunker.
Oh. Yeah. Thank you very much, Mrs.
Ms.
Oh, sorry, Ms. I can never get used to that baloney. I mean, excuse me, Miss Maloney.
Let's make this short and to the point. You are Archibald Bunker.
That's right.
And your age is 52.
Well, I just barely. He's a college guy out there, huh?
Oh, Mr. Edwards? I'm afraid he's overqualified. We'd spend our time and money breaking him in. If a better job came along, a college man would leave us flat.
Oh, they do it every time.
We find that the best person for this job is a man lacking in skill and knowledge.
Oh, well, you're looking at him. You're looking.
Now you'll have to answer a few personal questions.
Oh, yeah, shoot.
Do you drink?
Does beer count?
Yes.
No.
Have you ever been in trouble with the police?
No.
We can check this with computers in a matter of minutes.
Well, you don't have to do that. In fact, a couple of years ago, my old platoon from WW2 was having a reunion, you know. And we was up in the hotel room, and the guys kidding around, some pinko calls the cops. So all we was doing up there, we was dangling Shorty Benson out of window by his ankles. And the funny part of it is only Shorty was the only guy arrested there because he didn't have no pants on.
But you were not arrested.
I had my pants on the whole time.
Mr. Bunker, the job pays $3.90 an hour.
$3.90 an hour? Where is it, in Puerto Rico?
Close. 97th Street and 3rd Avenue. Don't you want the job, Mr. Bunker?
Oh, yeah. Hey, gracias for the job. I mean, you know, it's honest work and buys the groceries, right? When do I start?
You start tomorrow morning. Pick up a W-4 form from the receptionist, and she'll tell you where to check in.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you very much there, Ms. Maloney. You're a good guy.
He hurries back to the outer office.
Oh, hiya there, Frank. Listen, I got good news and bad news. I got the job and you didn't.
Good luck, Bunker.
Yeah, well, good. You didn't want it anyway.
That's all right, Bunker. I'm used to it.
Yeah. So long. Okay, little girl, I'm supposed to pick up a W-4 form here.
You got the job?
Well, listen, I'm going to be the best janitor a white man can.
Another woman runs in.
Betty, the man that was in your office just climbed out the window.
Mr. Edwards, what do you mean?
Frank Edwards?
Archie joins a crowd gathering at a window.
What did he do? Wait, hey. Frank, what the hell are you doing out the window?
It's an accident done 3 years ago.
Frank, hey, you shouldn't be out there. Hey, we're 8 stories up, Frank. You step off from 8 stories, you get a hell of a nosebleed going down. Come on,
now. No, don't touch me.
Frank.
Oh, my resume.
His briefcase flies open, and he drops it.
Take this, too.
Now, don't do nothing, Frank.
You touch me, I'm going next.
I ain't going to touch you. I just don't want you to do nothing on the spine at the moment, Frank.
Please get out of the way, Mr. Bunker. I'll take charge until the police get here.
What do you mean you'll take charge? Come here, let me tell you something. You take charge. The man is out there on the ledge because you wouldn't give him a job.
There was only one job. I gave that to you. That's why he's out there.
Maloney returns to the window, and Archie throws his hat in frustration. Frank Edwards stands on the ledge while Archie and Maloney lean out a window behind him.
Hey, Frank, now don't do it, Frank.
There was a big mistake made. The job's supposed to go to you, not me. Tell him, Maloney.
Yeah, yes, that's quite true. It was a misunderstanding. The job is yours.
Oh, sure, until I get off the ledge, and then you have me arrested.
No. Frank, she's telling the truth. I know it's hard to believe a kisser like this, but she can't be blamed for what she looks. Frank, listen, nothing personal. You're a swell-looking dame here. I'm just trying to get this loony away from the edge.
Forget it, Bunker. I heard you call me a loony.
I don't know.
You say, get this loony away from the edge.
No. I said it was a lovely afternoon on the ledge. Frank,
Frank takes off his suit jacket and tosses it to the street.
They want me to jump this one, but here I go.
No. Frank.
I'm coming.
Frank, you bunch of jerks down there, shut up. You make me sick and I'll throw up all over you. Hey, Frank, don't do this to me, Frank.
To you?
Yes, Frank, because you're supposed to get the job. I'll spend the whole rest of my life with a guilty complexion.
If it wasn't you, it would be somebody else.
No, Frank, listen. You want to talk to a priest or a rabbi?
No!
You don't want neither of them. I tell you what, there's a gang of shave-head Christian Harry's down there. I bring one of them up. He played a chamber amp for you.
Forget it, Bunker. I'm an atheist.
Oh, you don't believe in God, Frank?
If there's a God, let him catch me in his arms when I jump.
Hold on. Frank, listen. I'm a true believer myself, but I would never expect God to catch me, you know? Because maybe his hands are full with something else. He's a busy man up there, Frank. He's whipping up tornadoes and whirlpools and hurricanes and all them terrible things he does to let us know down here he's always thinking of us.
Let me tune him in there. Come on, move aside there.
A cop leans out the window.
Right, buddy, come in here before you hurt yourself.
You take one step and I'll jump. Oh, excuse me.
Frank grabs the breast of a stone architectural sculpture.
You better get the fire department with a net, or we're going to need the sanitation department with shovels.
Keep stalling.
Yeah. Frank, Frank, before you jump, maybe we ought to call your wife, huh? Because you know how mad women get when we keep waiting for dinner?
They haven't got a wife. I'm divorced.
Oh, no, listen, Frank, that could be good, too, because you're free. I tell you what, come on back in here, and we'll put you together with Maloney, huh?
She glares.
Frank, smile, you dope.
She forces a grin.
Listen, Frank, you think you're the only one with problems with his wife? Frank, listen, I can't even cut the mustard with my wife.
What do you mean?
I mean, it's ever since I've been unemployed. Maloney, leave us alone here.
He spots the receptionist peering out.
Get out of here, yous. Ever since I'm unemployed, in bed, I'm totally impotent.
Impotent?
Yes, Frank.
Frank sits on the ledge.
Listen, the word is impotent. Bunker, you're impotent.
Don't tell the whole of New York City.
You're not better off than I am. You're taking a job that's beneath you. You're not a kid anymore. Everything is downhill from now on. What do you got to live for?
Frank, you want to know what I got to live for? All right, Frank, I'll show you.
Archie climbs out the window.
You don't come here!
Hey, I ain't gonna touch you. You asked me what I got to live for. I'm gonna show you, that's all. Now let me show you something.
He calmly walks across the ledge and opens his wallet for Frank.
See that picture there? That's a picture of my little grandson. That's what I got to live for, huh? No hair, but a beautiful kid anyway. He's going to be 1 year old in December.
Mine is almost three.
You got a grandson, and you got the nerve to end your life, Frank? What the hell's the matter with you? If you go, who's going to raise up that little son?
His father.
His father? What the hell is his father? Only your son.
Son-in-law.
Oh, son-in-law. Ain't that the most ridiculous thing?
Archie faces Maloney and the receptionists.
Don't make him nervous, huh? Where's the nest?
Son-in-law's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard of, Frank. Listen, I got a son-in-law. When I'm trying to flatter him, I call him Mizek. Now listen to me, Frank.
Shut up, Bruce. Frank, a grandfather's got to do the business of raising a kid, teach him all the things he has to know. All the little things, like, for instance, you take a blade of grass between your two thumbs and you blow like a whistle, huh? Who's going to teach him how to break in a first baseman's mitt, hurl it up there and put a rock in the middle, huh? Frank, who's going to slip $2 on a slide, to go to movies when his father's punishing him, huh? That's the grandfather's got to do that. He's going to grow up without all of them wisdoms that you can give him. Frank, listen. Frank. Take China. Why is there billions of people in China? Of course, there's so many grandfathers still living. And you know why? Because you never see an old chink jumping off a building.
You okay, Bunker?
Oh, it's not. Comes and goes. It's just a little gallbladder. You know, it feels like a ball bat right in the gut.
He bends over.
Oh, jeez, I'm on your left!
Archie panics and clings to the wall.
I got you!
Frank, I got you!
I'm up here, I'm all alone here, Frank.
Why don't you go in? Go in the window!
I can't move!
Well, don't panic!
It's so far down!
Don't look down!
How am I supposed to look?
Look up!
That's worse, Frank!
Turn around!
I can't move!
Yeah, I'll help you!
I'll help you, come on!
Stay there!
No, Frank,
give me a hand!
No!
Give me a hand!
The cop pulls Frank inside and carries him away. Everyone follows, leaving Archie alone on the ledge.
Okay, Frank. I'll give you my hand, Frank. Where the hell are you, Frank? Jeez, I'm all alone.
Archie looks to the street.
Don't say that. It's the other guy you want, not me.
That night, Archie smokes a cigar in his pajamas.
Well, I want to tell you, it really would have disgusted you. There I was, way up on that ledge. Whole crowd of jerks in the street yelling up at me. Jump! Somehow I look down at them like this here, you know.
He sneers.
And I give them one of these. Then I do a little buck and wing along the edge, see? I hop in the window. Frank Edwards is in there, throws his arms around me, hugs me, kisses me, and all.
Aww.
I mean, because he was choked up with emotion, you know. I mean, he's a nut, but he ain't a fruit.
I don't blame him for kissing you. You saved his life.
You know what Frank wants to do one of these days? He wants to set you and me out to dinner.
Aww.
Well, you know, when he gets all his marbles back.
He wants to show his appreciation for what you've done.
Yeah.
My, you walked right out there on that ledge.
20 stories higher.
You could have got dizzy and fell.
No, when you're out there saving human life, you never think dizzy is.
Oh, Archie, you're a hero. And on top of all that, you got a job, too.
And, here we are in bed.
Yeah.
You remember lately I was thinking I was maybe becoming a little impudent? You know?
Oh.
Wait a minute.
Archie stops her from rolling away.
Yeah. I'm finished, really. All day today I got the feeling that my pudence was coming back.
Edith beams.
Wait a minute. It's always a lot better with the light out.
What's
the matter, Archie?
Geez, my guts are burning, Edith.
Is it your gallstones again?
It hurts.
I better call Dr. Shapiro.
No, don't call Shapiro. He'll want me to go to the hospital.
Well, that's what you ought to do, Archie.
Yeah, but that ain't what I want to do right now. All right, go ahead, call him. Call Shapiro. Edith, I'm awful sorry there, darling, you know. Game called on account of pain.
Edith kisses his cheek. To be continued next week. Directed by Paul Bogart. Written by Chuck Stewart and Ben Starr. Script supervision by Milt Josephsberg and Mort Lachman. Executive story editors Mel Tolkien and Larry Ryan. Story editors Douglas Arango and Phil Doran. Associate producer Bridget Jensen Drake.
All in the Family. Family was recorded on tape before a live audience.
Executive producer Mort Latchman. Produced by Milt Josephsberg, Gerald Hyken, Frank Edwards, Neva Patterson, Ms. Maloney, Janine Lanero, grocery clerk, Eliza Garrett, receptionist, Michael Aldridge, policeman, Ellen Travolta, secretary. Copyright 1976 Tandem Productions Incorporated, a Bud Yorkin, Norman Lear Tandem Production. Sony Pictures Television.